So early Christian worship included preaching, praying, reading scriptures, singing songs of praise unto God, the administration of the Lord's Supper, and almsgiving, or giving of those things that we've been prospered. We'll broaden out on those as we go along and give references to all of them. I realize that strange views can be found among humans on just about every aspect of Bible teaching. But misconceptions concerning worship are more of a problem than most of these things that people speculate on. This is so not because worship is more important than other elements of Christ's religion, but because the effects of wrong ideas in regard to worship in this regard are so visible in the public. A person might hold wrong notions on other things, but his views relating to worship are unavoidable reflections and actions that are quite observable. So I want us this morning to consider four common misconceptions that take those that harbor these things in their lives down the wrong fork of the road, or take their lives into the broad way rather than following the narrow way where we find salvation. The first one of these that I want us to look at is the fact that we can have wrong facts, or we can focus on humans, though the focus should be on God. At all times when we come to worship God, we need to ask the question, what does God accept from us as worship in regard to Him? We find in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 7, the scripture telling us, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave unto every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There was a division in the church at Corinth. Some were saying, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and some were saying, I am of Christ. Paul says that this is not good, that you've accepted the wrong policy in regard to your being obedient to the will of God. You need to change that. You need to repent of that. You need to center your mind upon the Lord. And you need to walk according to those things that He's delivered in His Word. So Paul continued in Galatians 1 and verse 10. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Christ the Lord is the one that we're to serve and follow that example that He set before us while He was upon the earth. In the book of Romans, we find that Paul talks about some that had turned away from God and applied their worship to creatures, those things that had been created and things of that nature. And I'm looking at Romans 1 now, verses 18 through 26. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He's indicating then that men are without excuse as far as their allegiance to Him, their praise of Him, and those things that are set forth. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Listen to this now. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore." You see, man kind of turned away. They began to follow the teachings of men. They even began to make figurines and things of that nature of the creatures that had been created upon the earth, and to worship them. That's still going on today. God had pleaded with them. He said they were without excuse because He revealed Himself to them. And now He's giving them up to a reprobate mind. They're going to be eternally lost because of the wrong facts concerning the will of God. We notice how modern worship often creates to human preferences with little regard of what God may or may not want. The big question for humans are not, what am I getting out of worship? But the big question is, what am I putting in to worship? Am I seeking to please God in those things that I direct toward Him that I call worship? Am I really glorifying His name by the things that I do in worship? The second thing I want us to look at is the wrong ascent. That is, stressing physical aspects when the ascent should be on the spiritual. You and I are supposed to walk according to the direction of the Spirit. And God's not going to accept us in our worship toward Him unless we do seek to find the knowledge of the Spirit and follow those things that are revealed by the Spirit in the Word of God. I'm looking now at Acts 17, verses 25 and 26. He's talking there about our worship. And he sets forth some things that we need to talk about. He says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Many people today think about their worship to God and what God will accept by elaborate temples and buildings and things of that nature. And in reality, we find that Paul says that God made the world. He has all of these things belong to him, and he doesn't dwell in temples that are made with hands. You remember Abraham was seeking a city whose builder and maker was God. So he was obedient to those things that God set forth. In Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, ye hypocrites. That's somebody that's kind of playing that religion. They claim to be something that in reality they're not. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain, now listen to that, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. God will not accept a doctrine that's based upon the commandments of men. He says that our worship is vain, unacceptable unto him, if we're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our prayers that go to God go through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. He takes care of those things that are needful. Sometimes I don't know exactly how I ought to pray, but if my heart is right on these things, then our mediator will get that prayer to God exactly like it needs to be, and to accomplish exactly what we're praying for. Some modern worship reflects more of the emotional prep rally, than reflects the reverence to be expected of one in the presence of the Almighty God. Habakkuk talked about that in Habakkuk 2 and verse 20. He said, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. See the reverence that is required. See the seriousness when we offer our praise to God and our worship to God. Then the third area where many make a mistake in trying to worship God is by having the wrong instructions. They follow human tradition rather than the instruction of God as Christ revealed them through His apostles and prophets. That's a very serious thing for us to think about, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, Paul says, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was baptized, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And then he closes out that instruction to them. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Yes, we ought to pray. And we come around the Lord's table. It ought to be a prayer of thanksgiving because of the sacrifice that was made upon the cross of Calvary. Then he went on in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, he said, let all things be done decently and in order. Worship is not to be a three-ring circus. It's to be approached from an orderly process. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Partaking of the Lord's Supper was upon the first day of the week. Taking up a collection was on the first day of the week. Yet in both of these things, men of the world have changed the day and the idea as far as it ought to be observed. I'm looking now at Mark 14, verses 22 through 26. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed and broke it and gave to them, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Now you think about that. This is my body that is given for you. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. After Christ's sacrifice upon the cross, he did meet with his disciples and partook of the fruit of the vine. And the scripture says that they knew him or recognized him. when he did that. That was because he told them about these things. We notice then the simplicity of these instructions compared with the elaborate rituals and varied customs that men have imposed in their place. Men had a problem with ritualism under the law of Moses. They've tried to continue many of those rituals under the law of Christ. They've made a mistake in doing those things. The last of these things that we want to look at that move men to try to worship God in a way that's not acceptable is wrong motivation. Worshiping God more as a matter of custom than of conviction is not acceptable in the sight of God. In Revelation 14 and verse 19, the scripture says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Half-hearted Christianity is not acceptable in the sight of God, and God will not accept worship from those that are half-hearted in the things that they seek to do for the Lord. He went on to say of this church, because thou sayest that I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve." They produced eye salve in Laodicea. Evidently they were not applying it to their eyes because they were not seeing very well. And so he said, "Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." What's the solution to their problem? Be zealous in the work of the Lord and repent. That's a word that keeps coming up, isn't it? Over and over again. John insisted that the people repent. Jesus insisted that the people repent. All of those that wrote in the New Testament insisted that people repent of those things that they were doing that was not right in the sight of God. Okay, in Philippians 1 and verse 15, he said, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and of strife, and some also of goodwill." If we teach a controversial Christ, then anything we have to try to offer to God is not acceptable as worship unto Him. Christ was a Christ of goodwill. He came into the world for that very purpose. The Scripture says that He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Then He said, I've come to seek and to save those that are lost. But He wants us to be enthusiastic. He wants us to praise Him like He set forth in His divine word. In Matthew 23, verses 14 through 26, He talks about this and these individuals. And He sets it forth in a very plain way. We're looking now at Matthew 23, verses 14 through 26. He said, Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. These were praying people, but they were really not sincere. Those things that He prayed about. He said, for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Not really teaching what was true, even to those that they were teaching to be a part, they thought, of the kingdom of God. He says, Woe unto you blind guides, which say whosoever shall swear by the temple. Now God is not being worshipped in the temple, is He? But He went on to say that they were blind guides because they swear by the temple. And that's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty of debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Now listen to the conclusion of what he's setting forth here. Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. You remember the church, Laodicea, that was making a contribution to the poor saints at Jerusalem? Paul said that they gave beyond really the means that they had to give. And you know why he said they did that? He said they first gave themselves unto the Lord. That's the secret, is really giving ourselves unto the Lord so that our worship might be acceptable. Whosoever sweareth by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, Now that's where God is in heaven, upon his throne. And he that sware by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that setteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not left the other undone. O ye blind guides, which strain at an gnat and swallow the camel. Sad situation, isn't it? Called them hypocrites. Called them fools. Because of all of those things that they put in there, which God had not commanded. So the Bible makes it clear that even right things may be done for wrong reasons. The Christian must be concerned with why we worship God, as well as what we include in our worship of God. That's what John says in John 6:25-27. Sets forth that idea. And when they had found him, Jesus was in his personal ministry. He was moving from place to place. He'd gone across the lake or the sea to the other side without them knowing that he'd left the area where he was and crossed over. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves. They're seeking him that they might fill their stomach. He said, you're not seeking me because of the miracles. That's not produce faith in your heart. But you're seeking me because of the loaves that I fed you. And he said, when you eat these loaves, you were filled. And then he gives them an admonition. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. That's the only place we can go to have everlasting life. Jesus will give us that if we seek his way and follow those things that are set forth. Our worship will be acceptable if we include those things that God has revealed to us in our worship. I hope this has helped us. We have to seek our Lord in spirit and in truth. And it doesn't make any difference if we should gain the whole world and then lose our soul. That'll be bad, won't it? If I want anything in life, I want to hear the Lord say to me at the judgment day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in to the joys of the Lord. I don't want to hear that other thing that he can say, where he says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity and everlasting punishment." May the Lord help us to seek him while he can be found, and be familiar with his voice when he calls from heaven and we go up to meet him in the clouds of the air. Are you going to recognize his voice then? What a wonderful day that will be. And what a wonderful day it is when we pour out our heart's adoration in worship to God. May God help us in those things that we need today.